listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, March 29th, 2019, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it really is a wild and dystopic ride. We'll talk about some headlines and some other stuff. There's no shortage of strange, bizarre things happening. It really, things have changed dramatically, haven't they? In America, this ain't your grandma's America anymore. It's more like, you know, it's been a while, but it's more like some other places in history, some places that had some things going on that we were ostensibly fighting against here. That's where our grandparents heard anyway. So we'll talk about some of that and more today. I want to touch on some things. I guess, you know, it's Friday. Usually we try to open the phone lines up, so phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. It's been about 80 years since things got weird in Germany in particular. We look back on history and we see that none of that was really an accident. And in our own history, you know, we have the recent reminder, for example, of Patrick Clausen. Even establishment historian types, establishment foreign policy types, acknowledge the fact that pretty much every major conflict that this country or country of countries, I think as it should more properly be known, every major conflict has been essentially a put-up job in one fashion or another. Establishment historian types acknowledge the fact that these were not just spontaneous, organic uprisings, so to speak. And when I use that terminology, I think of color revolution that we see springing up all around us and how people think, you know, it's the same. It's interesting. It's the same mechanics every time. Like what we see happening again in Venezuela, because it's not the first time. And yet, we don't get wise to this stupid parlor trick. It's interesting. So anyway, we'll talk about some of that. And more, I don't want to go too far into this. I'll just say a few things maybe to open today, and then we'll get into some of the headlines, because there's lots of weird stuff going on. There are examples of what I'm going to touch on, but we probably need to make a more in-depth dive on this stuff. And hopefully, you know, maybe we can share this information. I'm sure you know most of it, all of it, maybe more. But you know, it would be nice if we could share it with our fellow American. Things are happening and people don't, they're just repelled by the notion that, you know, it's just inconceivable that something could have been engineered for nefarious purposes. And so I mentioned J. Edgar Hoover's words yesterday from Communist New Look, 1956, published in Elks magazine. I included those in yesterday's archive. But, you know, that quote that's usually taken out of context, and people say, well, that is the broader context. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. But for the person coming into the discussion who doesn't know what you're trying to explain, to try to hint at that broader context first without giving them a chance to sort of unpack the subject matter at their own speed or in their own time risks the adverse side effect of discrediting message or messenger, which you don't want to do. You want to maintain credibility by sticking to the orthodoxy of the facts, which includes including context. So it runs the risk of discrediting messenger and message. Don't want to do that. Which is, you know, that's all planned too. It's similar to discrediting messenger and message is similar to what I was saying about, you know, you read the prologue to the Union Jack and you get the same point. I mean, the plan to get people worn out on this counterfeit Christianity that you see pretty much everywhere. It's everywhere. And who can blame folks who don't know the roots of the National Council of Churches and World Council of Churches? They're really the satanic roots. You know, people don't know. They walk into a place, they see this six-pointed star next to the American flag, and, you know, none of that has any place in a house of worship, in my humble opinion. And I understand people want to be patriotic and sure, but you know what? It causes controversy and you You know, it's the unholy not marriage, I don't want to say that, but not alliance, I don't want to say that either, but it's the commingling of church and state. And it's interesting, that whole discussion, you know. People say, you know, separation of church and state, yes, go look at Jefferson's legislation for freedom of religion. It's kind of, you know, for those who want to try to argue the point before they read it, it's an eye-opener, I think. From that guy, kind of interesting. Anyway, the quote that gets taken out of context from Hoover, as I mentioned yesterday, the American citizen must hew to a line while backing up. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to the realization, a realization, of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. The American citizen must hew to a line comprised of a little skepticism, a lot of knowledge, monumental faith, and an everlasting desire to get to the facts. He must view all the evidence until the face of truth is plain. And man, that's, you know, you have, it's interesting, there is this overwhelming effort to keep you from that. You know, the CIA has been instrumental in that over the years. James Jesus Angleton's Wilderness of Mirrors, for example, the infinity mirror in every direction you look. And that's just been amplified. One of the things I want to touch on today is chaos theory and some sort of counterparts to it. And, you know, that just amplifies the wilderness of mirrors, and it's really more kind of a wilderness of infinity mirrors, you know, everywhere you look. And lots of chaos and infighting. So it is incumbent upon the individual, it behooves the individual to dig in. Imagine, you know, we've talked about it on this broadcast. Imagine if we all did that for ourselves. And then, instead of fighting with one another, we shared our knowledge. We were building on, again, you know, from Hoover's remarks back in 1956, those men of the frontier knew that awareness of danger is the first requisite if one is to combat that danger with any degree of effectiveness. Until the American citizen learns for himself that the nature of the present menace, communism will continue to be a deadly danger. And so the point is, you can take that to a broader context, right? You can look at the history of Operation Northwoods, realizing, see, we get, I feel like Northwoods is kind of another one of those modified limited hangouts. It's just, you know, sure, that happened once, seems compartmentalized, isolated, and that was a long time ago. No, no. That was one of dozens of plans. Dozens. Just one of dozens. And that was just one moment. There are many others where dozens of plans have been cooked up, and they're being carried out to this day. And there are other contingency measures and things that have been discussed in the mainstream. And so those are the sorts of machinations that you see that sort of come to mind when you think of these words. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. That's what you're doing when you're advocating bombing the American people as a surreptitious pretext to invade somewhere else. And you and I know that there is a history of that. unfortunately. So, without further ado, let's get to some of the subject, and I'll get into some of the stories. So, two things happening all around us that work, i.e. conspire, together in unconventional warfare, in the fashion of unconventional warfare. If we start thinking about these things properly, see, nobody wants to admit that. Again, Hoover said it best. Your mind is repelled, you know, handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous. It's unbelievable, inconceivable, that people could espouse a philosophy which ultimately must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. But what else do you say? I mean, look at what's happening. If what's happening in America fits the description and pattern of unconventional warfare, irregular warfare, nonlinear warfare, and subsets of those things, then what do we say? How do these things happen by accident? How do certain news stories and certain talking points get featured? Why do we keep seeing story after story, the heavily opinionated coverage of the Mueller investigation all along and the conclusions that don't conclude? And how do we... And that just continues. That situation never improves. How do we dismiss that and assign that to coincidence or happenstance? Seems kind of silly, doesn't it? To do that? I think it does. You know, that reminds me of, where is it? Don't see it. The quote. Yeah, I'll find it. Apparently not right this second, though. Darn it. I'll come back to that. So, unconventional warfare. Two things that conspire together. And it's happening all around us. Slides. Larkin, Texas reminds us, right? On a fairly regular basis. Probably not often enough, honestly. So, just again, I've said it a lot lately, but when you read John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles, you understand the people had a shift in their thinking. It was a shift apparently on a societal level, if we're to believe John Adams. Everybody realized the king and crown and all in authority under them was not operating in their best interest. So they started praying for the colonies, their local government, so to speak. Imagine if America got that point, understood that what we threw off arguably pales in comparison to what we're experiencing today. Can you imagine if everybody started to come to that conclusion, at least to some degree on their own? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Slides, Fritz Springmeier referred to as a conditioned response which dead ends one's thinking and or it terminates debate or an examination of the topic at hand. Right? That's what we're talking about. A conditioned response which dead ends one's thinking and terminates debate or an examination of the topic at hand. What's the other thing? Well, talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. As James Baldwin put it, American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it. And so that is a sort of important concept to keep front of mind. If we could really get our arms around the bulk of it and then go back in history and see it in the, you know, see American history through sort of the backdrop of the broader history of mankind. You know, study of history kind of backdrop. Then I think we would have a more firm foundation, a less unstable, less easily destabilized sort of perspective, you know? Because we would have done at least somewhat, like a modicum of our own homework, our own research to investigate things that we all probably should, at least to some degree. But, you know, everybody's busy these days. It's interesting, you know, you watch the late night stuff, the late night pundits, and it's just interesting, especially in the larger metropolitan areas. It just seems to be the thing where it seems like you get away from nature at all, and then for any length of time, then suddenly strange things happen. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1. Anyway, two things that conspire, and they're happening all around us. Slides, conditioned response, which dead ends one's thinking and or terminates debate or an examination of the topic at hand. So examples of this, let's just get to examples, shall we? And I'll mention some examples of the other. Actually, maybe I'll wait till the longer segment so that they're both together, because I think it's important. And there are many everywhere you look. It's as though, you know, it's we're just in a certain context, we are surrounded by dupes, useful idiots, Manchurian candidates, and so forth. People conscripted to the devil's errand of destabilizing American society. I hope that this broadcast doesn't sound like that, because it certainly is not intended to. I'm trying to shed a bright light on this and not provoke destabilizing internal conflict. Quite the contrary. Trying to shine a bright light on it so that we all... And that's why I'm not poking at one, you know, contrived, fomented side or another. Because that's balkanization. We're not, you know, that's one of the great things I think Jordan Peterson has made clear in this identity politics milieu that we see. It just becomes more caustic and vitriolic all the time. The, you know, reductio absurdum of it, implying that people are just this or just that, it's extremely immature. You know, I mean, really, there's an infantile sort of nature to it. There really is. You know, you get reduced to the person who has these blocks that I want to play with, or that kind of thing. And we should be smart enough, wise enough, to resist that gravitational pull. But again, you know, most of us have not spent a whole lot of time digging around at places like the Rand Corporation. Just go dig around. And I defy anyone to just go dig around at Rand or DTIC.mil or Brookings or anywhere and see if what I'm saying isn't true. You start looking at some of this stuff and kind of horrified. Or, you know, Federation of American Scientists, what they've published, including the CRS reports. There's the other site that's actually a better resource, I would say. What is that? I should probably look at that. Anyway, go dig around and see what's going on for yourself and see if we can dismiss it to happenstance or coincidence. I don't think so. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Evidence of a societal decline. We've had issues like this in the past, but, you know, this couple of things, actually. Let's see. Washington Post. Think of the mothers of sons. Notre Dame mom begs female students to stop wearing leggings, sparking protests. See, we can't just have a conversation over legitimate concerns, for example. Can't do that. So that's an interesting story. By the way, I've done that. When was the last time you saw ladies, a group of ladies, wearing a dress? Not that that's necessary, but, you know, it's... Ladies used to wear pants and things when they had some kind of work that probably required not getting snagged on something. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that anybody should or shouldn't do anything. I'm just saying that getting men and women to wear the same clothing is a step toward androgyny. And there is a critter on the historical landscape that would seek to do that, to sort of reduce us down to just an androgynous amalgamation. It's happening right before our very eyes. And people used to say, oh, that's preposterous. Who would dare say such a silly thing? But you know what? It's difficult to make an argument against that happening today, isn't it? With all of the gender nonsense and so forth. So Washington Post, think of the mothers of sons. Notre Dame mom begs female students to stop wearing leggings, sparking protests. Have you looked? I've sat out in the parking lot of a grocery store a couple of times in recent months. Probably, you know, people probably think I'm strange. Who knows? Just to sort of keep an eye on how many women actually wear dresses. And also, how many are in stretchy pants, you know? Nacho Libre, stretchy pants. And there is an increasing number of women running around in, you know, dressed in Lululemon. So I think that's unfortunate. And they're not flattering either, obviously. I mean, a nice dress is much more flattering, much more, you know, I mean, it's flattering and sophisticated. I'm not, you know, this is, again, I'm not trying to hack on anybody, so to speak. Just, it's an observation. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate the direction that has gone. I'm sure ladies, you know, we could say the same thing about men. I don't know what it, you know, there has to be some kind of, if we looked into it, there's probably something behind why men are dressing in suits that are too small. They look like they're wearing their children's clothes. And that's probably what it is. It probably gets back to that concept of neoteny and pan syndrome and all that kind of nonsense. Keep them acting like they're juveniles forever. So in the same sense, gentlemen, if you're going to the trouble of buying a suit and having it tailored, make sure it fits. Because that's just, that's not, certainly not fashionable. It's definitely trendy. But it's embarrassing looking, I think. Don't you feel uncomfortable if your suit doesn't fit properly? You can't, you know, you try to reach up and point and tear the back out of your jacket? That's not good. Anyway, I have just kept track over the period of, you know, say 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so, how many people are dressed, how, and it's unfortunate, I think, that women aren't wearing dresses more and are gravitating toward the stretchy pants kind of thing. Anyway, here's another interesting headline. Speaking of, you know, messing with people. The Washington Post, another Washington Post story. Former CIA leaders give briefing book, quote unquote, to 2020 candidates to counteract fake news, quote unquote, and foreign election interference, quote unquote. Isn't that ironic? Which, again, I mean, how can I not but mention the LA Times article, the U.S. is no stranger to interfering in the elections of other countries. Is that in the briefing book? Dov Levin's research that, you know, we know about 81 times between 1946 and 2000. These are established facts of history. 81 times. The covert regime change actions that are published on Wikipedia, all the color revolutionary nonsense, is that all in there? In the briefing book? Washington Post, former CIA leaders give briefing book to 2020 candidates to counteract fake news, air quotes, and foreign election interference, air quotes. So this is the beginnings of kind of what I'm talking about, destabilizing a society, and that's part of unconventional warfare. You do those things below the surface, you create a reactionary movement of increasing and increasingly widespread discontent. You basically start using Marxist propaganda in simple terms. This is an oversimplification, I realize, but you know, you use Marxist propaganda, workers of the world unite, this group, that group unite, and you start fomenting dissatisfaction and the general attitude that we're all disenfranchised minorities, all of us. And you know what? We all kind of are, legitimately. That's why it works so well, but not for the reasons we're led to believe. And we shouldn't be conscripted to the vehicle as a result of that propaganda. You know, Nesta Webster, to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whither they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. That's what happens with Marxist propaganda every time. But, you know, they're the impassioned speeches that work so well, as Bertrand Russell pointed out. Limelight and brass band is much more effective than the facts, which is why we've been led into a post-truth era and why now people can't see the intrigue and the deception and the trap in Charlie Chaplin's, you know, Great Dictator speech. Oh my goodness, it's so, yeah, it is rousing, it is moving. Of course, it's an impassioned speech that evokes the emotions and an emotional response from the masses. And if we would just read a little bit, again, Hayek told us that's how the worst get on top. Three central tenets to why the worst get on top. You know, three main reasons, he said, why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather the worst elements of any society. And it becomes a homogeneous group. Doesn't that sound like fascism? Suddenly it's a tight bundle of sticks, not easily broken. Meanwhile, the people are fractured and fragmented, balkanized. In the first instance, it's probably true that in general, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals become, the more their views and tastes are differentiated and the less likely they are to agree on a particular hierarchy of values. That's the middle-class firewall that Mike Huckabee talked about. Remember, to create havoc in any society, you know, chaos theory. Huckabee, to create havoc. The huckster, that one of those things that got disappeared from the interwebs. I will never forget. To create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings. To whom? And poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Oh, that's who. Okay. Before the Russian Revolution, Marxism, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. They needed someone to shout slogans at them, tell them what their thoughts and ideas were, tell them they were a disenfranchised minority. Workers of the world, unite! The raised fist. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. And it works. First, you create pressure. What's happening in Venezuela right now? We need to play that Badistan video. Should, you know, Ronnie Kallick, should the U.S. intervene in Badistan? We're going to have to play that for sure. Because that's pretty brilliant. First, we need to apply sanctions, destabilize, cripple, and topple their economy so that they'll know that we're friends when we're coming in to invade. I mean, to stabilize and reconstruct. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, Huckabee said, but the underclass is the fuel. Ruling class is the spark, underclass is the fuel. Just tinder to start a fire, which, you know, is reminiscent of the remarks that Kissinger didn't make. Oh, he would never say that. You know, military men are cannon fodder, dumb, stupid animals. He would never say a thing like that. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall, and the firewall is a firewall because they've taken the time to educate themselves a little bit, you know? Right? Like Hayek points out, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals, the higher intelligence and education becomes, the more their views and tastes are differentiated. There are nuances, and we have conversations. We're humble, we're respectful, like folks have mentioned. You know, John in Tennessee is one recently. The more I learn, the more I realize, the less I know, kind of thing. You know, the more I know, the less I know. Which sounds like a Rumsfeldism. But that's, you know. And if you're really fortunate and you have an opportunity to really immerse yourself in history and things, which every generation should do to a certain extent, otherwise we run the risk of, you know, the dangers of neoteny, so to speak, in a lobster revolution. Because we forget, and so we're reduced. We're not born with these natural instincts. We are, to a certain degree, but not, you know, the way a beaver can be born and just will start building things innately. Those latent tendencies to recognize danger and so forth are, I would say, less prevalent in mankind and are in this scientific dictatorship we find ourselves in. They're, you know, again, I mentioned tabula rasa yesterday, the blank slate. They're wiped from everyone. That's what the cybernetic totalists seek to do. First, burn down the stack, frag the hard drive, so to speak. I mean, I've talked about how when I walk into a middle school and there's a giant banner, you know, a bunch of kids are on psychotropics, but they have a giant banner in the lunchroom that has a red circle and a red line through the circle with the word drugs. Say no to drugs. Well, what about the drugs you're giving? When you give them an indiscriminate soundbite like that, the mind is confused. And basically it shuts down on a certain level because of that, which is why it's important, like as Jordan Peterson points out, to be precise in our speech. The more precise we can be, the better. Within reason. You know, let's not be legalistic about it, but let's, in the spirit of, say, not bearing false witness to our neighbor, you know, number 9. So Hayek tells us, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals, the more their views and tastes are differentiated and less likely they are to agree on a particular hierarchy of values. It's a corollary, he said, of this, that if we wish to find a high degree of uniformity and similarity of outlook, we have to descend to the regions of lower moral and intellectual standards. What's been happening over the last several decades in America? Again, Exhibit A. Think of the mothers with of sons. Notre Dame mom begs female students to stop wearing leggings, sparking protests. There are many, many other examples. Most of them, they're not fit to mention on air. You know. If a numerous group is needed, strong enough to impose their views on the values of life on all the rest, it will never be those with highly differentiated and developed tastes. It will be those who form the mass of, in the derogatory sense of the term, the least original and independent, who will be able to put the weight of their numbers behind the particular ideas, their particular ideas. But what if their ideas are fed to them in the sense that Huckabee mentioned? If, however, a political dictator had to rely entirely on those whose uncomplicated and primitive instincts happen to be very similar, their number would scarcely give sufficient weight to their endeavors. He will have to increase their numbers by converting more to the same simple creed. Here comes in the second negative principle of selection. He will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own but are prepared to accept a readily made system of values if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. It would be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions or emotions are readily aroused who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
care if it hurts. I wanna have control. I want the perfect body. Want a perfect soul. And I want you to know it is. When
welcome
I'm
back.
Not around, you're so very special.
Final segment of the first hour. James Baldwin wrote, "What passes for identity in America is a series of myths about one's heroic ancestors." And again, speaking of fomenting sides and pitting them against one another, I'm getting to a point I should have started probably with it, but we'll get to it at the top of the second hour. So, for posterity's sake, the third main reason Hayek lists in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. So the second is that this would-be dictator, political dictator, remember we talked about this before the 2016 election? During that cycle? The second negative principle of selection, this would-be political dictator will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values. If it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently, it would be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused, who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. I think we need to be more like that first group that Hayek mentions, you know, higher education and intelligence with highly differentiated views and tastes. Nuanced, I would say. There are certain things, you know, in so-called Christian vernacular, if you will, I realize that's mostly a pejorative term and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with it. I think it's used too casually, but for context, in the Christian context, you know, folks might say this isn't a salvation issue. So, you know, there are things that you might call hands and feet issues. Hands don't do what feet do, eyes don't do what ears do, and so forth. And sometimes people get hung up on dogmatic myopia. Oh, I would never do that. Well, just because you wouldn't doesn't mean the Holy Spirit hasn't sanctioned that for another. So, you know, that would be a nuance in the broader context of this sort of discussion, you know, where we might not do it ourselves, where we might not advocate that, but that, you know, we could. It's not a salvation issue. It's not eugenics. You're not euthanizing people or something like that, and it's not leading to that. It's not a degree or two or three separated from that devil's errand. So it's nuances of difference, you know, highly educated and intelligent folks sharing their views with one another. I think we should be more like that. I'll mention the third and we'll move on. I'll get back to the two things that conspire. We'll be right back.